All right, welcome back, everybody. And again, this is Table Talk, your healthy theological radio addiction, and I'm your host, Pastor Brent Kuhlman. I was connecting John 1:1 with Colossians 1, verses 15 to 16, and I want to say just a little bit more about that. You know, you get a pastor started, and you just can't stop, but I hope this is helpful for you. As I do some of my technical work here, I'm almost all set. So, all right, we're almost ready to go. All right, here we go. So, speaking once again with connecting these two texts, John 1 with Colossians 1, verses 14 and 15, and also verse 16. You know, Jesus Christ, before the world began, he was with God as God's Word, personally united with God, as God's speaking, willing, and working, and so closely united with God that Jesus is confessed as God. And so in John's gospel, you know, it ends as it begins. You have the confession of Jesus Christ as God in chapter 1, and then in John 20, with Thomas, he confesses Jesus as my Lord and my God. So Jesus, again, the firstborn of all creation doesn't mean that he's a creature, that he's been created, but rather he has primacy and supremacy over all of creation, which he created. So Jesus is not creature. That's against the Arians of the ancient history, 4th century, and the modern Arians, the Jehovah's Witnesses, who teach that he is a creature. Jesus is not creature, but he is creator, and he's the creator of all things. And so in Jesus Christ, the Word, and the Word made flesh, God called into being everything. And he called it all very good. That's Genesis 1:31. This is very important because, you know, you've got to confess Jesus properly. You know, the Small Catechism does it this way. True God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. And that's the one who is my Lord, who's redeemed me, etc., etc., etc. Now back to Colossians 1, verse 16 again, where again it says, let's see, I got to get there. All right. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers, authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Now, let's look at some other passages that teach this as well. So I'm just trying to clinch this biblical argument for you so that you can be equipped to make the good confession against the Jehovah's Witnesses when they come knocking on your door. And you'll say, well, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? And they'll say, well, he's not Jehovah. He's not Jehovah God, but he's a creature of God. That's the old Arian heresy. So you can be prepared because their New World Translation is wrong. You can check this out online. Just do a Google search of the New World Translation, the Jehovah's Witnesses Bible on John 1, verses 1 through 4, how it changes the words so that Jesus is not God, okay, but like God. All right. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians now, chapter 8, verse 6, to just piggyback on what we're learning. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist. Same thing that John 1 teaches, same thing that Colossians 1 teaches. Let's go to Hebrews, and I want to go to Hebrews chapter 1. I think I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. This is, again, just to clinch this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So God the Father created the world, so did God the Son, Jesus Christ. Let's look at, we can look at one more. Let's go to the book of Revelation. And if my memory serves me correctly, it's chapter 3. It's always dicey business, you know, when you do these things by memory. I hope I remember it correctly. It's Revelation chapter 3, and I think it's verse 14. Oh, too many pages to turn. All right, here we go. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. And when it says that, it's in connection with what it said in verse 15 of Colossians 1, namely that Jesus is the has primary supremacy over everything that he's created. He's the creator, and so he is supreme, and he's primary over all that he has created. And that's what it means here in Revelation. All right, now let's go back to Colossians. All right, here we go. And again, Paul is pushing the preeminence of Christ, you see. That's the whole point. Thrones and dominions, says in verse 16. Very interesting language. These are names common to, you know, Judaism, if you will, and also the New Testament of angelic or demonic powers. And they're thought of as, in some sense, controlling the universe. Now, the false teachers that the Colossians had to deal with were apparently assigning to them power and then independence of, guess who? Dun-ta-da, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So what's interesting here then, but I'm going to skip ahead, Colossians 2:8, just to remind you where Paul says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. All right, remember that the false teachers were saying that Christ isn't supreme. There are other things that are either equal to or surpass the Lord Jesus Christ. So these false teachers apparently assigned these angelic and demonic powers. How should I say it? They would be independent of Christ, that Christ is not supreme. And of course, then they would hold them to be, well, guess what? Objects of worship. And so I remind you what Paul says in Colossians 2:18 when he says, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. So Paul then, in proclaiming Christ as their creator, he is categorically asserting, and some would say even audaciously asserting, Christ's lordship over what he says in the text, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, because everything was created by him. So again, Paul is categorically stating that Jesus is the creator, and therefore he has lordship over all of creation. And so this indicates, it indicates the irrelevance, if you will, or the error of angel worship, okay? And you've got other names for these, like in Romans 8, verse 38. You know that by heart, remember? 1 Corinthians 15:24, Ephesians 1:21, Ephesians 3:10. And we hear more about this later in verses 10 and 15 of Colossians 2. You've got the same language of thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities. Okay, the other part of verse 16, created through him and, did you catch this? Created for him. All of creation then is to serve Christ's gracious purpose of establishing the kingdom of God through his suffering and death and resurrection. And so the Lord, his miracles, if you will, in his ministry, they prove that he's in total control of all of creation. So when you read the New Testament, you have Jesus who heals the sick, who raises the dead, etc., etc. This proves who he is. He's the creator who has come to his creation to redeem it, to restore it, to give it peace, and give it order, just like at the first creation. And so let's not forget, the gospel reading for Trinity Sunday was Matthew 28, where Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So the resurrected, the exalted Lord Jesus Christ, he reigns over absolutely all creation. Let's clinch this a little more with some other texts from the scriptures. Let's go to Romans, and it's chapter 8, and it's verse 39. There's no height, there's no depth, nor anything else in all creation that will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's wonderful news. Let's go to Revelation 5, verse 13, to push this just a little bit more. Again, Revelation 5, the big worship scene, you know. And while I'm looking this up, you know, I want to remind everybody, the book of Revelation isn't that hard to understand. It's really quite easy. Those of you who have studied with me on this before, you know what I'm about ready to say. But those of you who haven't, well, get ready. The book of Revelation is very simply all about this. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Savior. No one else is. No one else is. And thus you have the worship scenes. So in Revelation 5, verse 13, we have this, where it says, "And I heard every creature," see, I did this on purpose, "creature. I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And of course, then the four living creatures say, "Amen." The elders, they fall down and they worship. Now, I hope that clinches this for you. You know, Colossians 1, verses 15 through 16, Jesus is the creator, and everything that he has created exists for the sake of him. And so, therefore, we do not worship angels or any other part of creation, but we worship Christ Jesus. So again, I'm going to repeat this. As the exalted and resurrected Lord reigns over all creation, he's going to bring all creation back to God. Let's go back to Romans, and Romans 8, and starting at verse 19, Paul says, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." For this is now the next verse is Romans 8, verse 20. "For the," check it out, "for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom and the glory of the children of God." Verse 22, "Now, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." That's the resurrection on the last day. Again, I'm connecting what the rest of the New Testament says and what Paul writes elsewhere about this creation. So again, I'm going to repeat this to make sure I'm making my point clear. The resurrected and exalted Lord reigns over all creation. Matthew 28, 18, Romans 8, 39, Revelation 5, 13, and he will bring all of creation home to God, if you will, if I can even talk like that. That's why I quoted Romans 8, 19 through 22. And finally then, Jesus then will receive the worship of all creation. And I remind you then, let's clinch this one with going to Philippians. And you all know this by heart. It's Philippians chapter 2, but I'm going to read it anyway. Verses 10 and 11. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now check it out here with the language. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So he in the end will receive universal worship by all of creation. This is the Jesus we worship. He is the creator. We are the creature. Well, I hope that's helpful for you. Stay Lutheran, my friends. Bye-bye.